All right, Bucks fans, it is a victory Monday on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is not here. He'll be back with us, coming back from New Orleans, and we'll be back pretty quickly, Ira. We'll keep it short today.
I think DeCamper must have put on 2 or 3 pounds in that New Orleans trip.
I don't know. He could tell us what he ate, but it is a focus.
There ain't no Brussels sprouts at the gumbo shop, Stevie. I just want you to know that.
So, bottom line, Ira, we are here. We're excited, and we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. They will still beat any deal by $100. Get your best deal only at Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. They've got Ford has extended employee pricing to customers who have experienced a verified loss due to the hurricanes. Get in touch with the dealership for that information, BillCurryFord.com. But you know what, Ira, General Manager Sean Sullivan, he's been devastated by what's happened to the community that he loves, born and raised in Tampa, and he loves Bucks fans, of course. But he wants to help everybody personally, however he can do it, on top of the Ira Kaufman discount. All this navigating of insurance, if you had damage to a vehicle, saltwater damage, whatever it is, it's difficult, and they will help you. He will help you.
He's experienced his own personal losses.
Exactly.
Of property.
Exactly. So they're there for you. They're so dedicated to helping the community. BillCurryFord.com. And if you haven't had any loss, of course, great place to buy a vehicle. You want to go there first, check them out, BillCurryFord.com. If you go to JoeBucksFan.com, just click on the ad there. If you just haven't gotten to Bill Curry Ford yet and you're lazy, do it that way. Now, Sage, also, you know, we've got a lot of listeners still without power. Unbelievable, you know, but it's still going on. And people still assessing damage. Our great photographer from JoeBucksFan.com. Not going to give
guy I worked with in Atlanta.
Yeah, he just came home from evacuating and found some damage at his property. And so
great guy.
So that's kind of sad. But you know what? Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you. If you're in that situation, call them 24/7. Storm damage, roof damage. If you had water come in from outside and it's water that you can't just, you know, dry up with some paper towels.
Call before your insurance man.
Call right away. And if you've called your insurance company, you don't have to necessarily use who they tell you this is our mitigation company. You can work with someone who gives you an independent evaluation and is honest and has 5-star Google reviews across the board. That's Josh Martin and his team. I've referred many people who've been very happy with his response. Florida's Elite Restoration. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area and beyond, across the state as well, into Orlando. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you call. And if you need their service, you're going to get $500 back. That's hard money for your deductible, or just cash back if you want to pay for it. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Sage, you know who is not hurting? That's the Bucks. 51-27 in New Orleans. One of the most bizarre games I've ever seen, Ira. Total collapse in the second quarter, all the way to the end, and I want to talk about that. And then third quarter, this is a tight game going into the fourth quarter, and what do? They just blow them out, roll them out. Bucks fans want to hear from the Sage. We all read your 10 takeaways column, but you know, put this thing into perspective for us, Ira.
Steve, there's only one word, and I don't use this. I've never used this on the podcast. It's been 8 years. I'll use it right now. 1, 2, 3. Wow. Wow. W-O-W in capital letters. The second most points in franchise history. They've been playing since 1976. All-time record total yards, almost 600. 600 yards. They opened 17-0. They closed 27-0. Steve, that Sean Tucker touchdown in the second quarter, it's significant because it kept them afloat. You know, imagine if they're going down at halftime 10 points down. I mean, that's tough after being a great start like that. And by the way, Steve, you know what we're not talking about anymore?
What?
Scoring on the first drive. That's in the rearview mirror, Steve.
Three games in a row now, Ira.
I can't say enough about this run game. 220 yards in the second half, 100, maybe 170 in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Sean Tucker looks like, you know, Billy Sims in 1982. Bucky Irving looks like Adrian Peterson. This is fantastic. By the way, I want to talk about Irving for a second. In curtailed snaps over six games, he has three different 30-yard runs. It's three games he's got a 30-yard run, and he doesn't get a lot of touches. a lot of times when he gets the ball, I think he's going to the house. When's the last time Bucks had that? I mean, maybe Doug Martin, 1 year. Maybe Doug Martin had two big years with 1,400 yards.
Yeah, I mean, look, LeGarrette Blount had that explosiveness early in his career for that one season. But it's exciting as hell. We've been talking about him, but it's electric. It's energizing. Tony Dungy asked to grade the Bucks on Football Night in America last night. And, you know, he's a defensive guy. He calls out two guys, you know, throws out Baker Mayfield's been playing very well this season. And then he jumps right to Bucky Irving, energizing the team and this and that and this. I mean, that's not a coincidence.
He's given this offense a huge spark. Steve, there's so many angles to this Bucks victory. It was overwhelming. The second quarter, yeah, it was awful. It was awful. Steve, I added it up yesterday. When you were reading my column, you probably said, Ira, you're making that up. Seven penalties in the quarter.
Yeah.
Seven. I went over it three times. one series, which was a total debacle. I think it was after the New Orleans field goal early second quarter, and the Bucks got the ball. I think they had three penalties in the same drive. Am I right, Steve? That drive was horrible, and it was pre-snap penalties, just terrible. Sterling Shepard, what are you doing? I mean, calm down out there. You know, you're not Jerry Rice. There's not much to pick on, Steve. They showed tremendous resilience. Bowles used that word today. I think it's proper. You're going in. You know, everything's going your way, and you look at halftime, you're down 27-24. What's going on here? I'm not going to kill the defense, Steve. I'm not going to kill them. One of them was a punt return. And three takeaways set the Saints up. I can't kill the defense even in the second quarter. Wasn't great, but not terrible. Mayfield, that's about as bad as he can play that quarter. I know a couple of the picks, Steve, were bounced off guys, but the whole quarter, I thought he was throwing into coverage. And there wasn't a lot of separation by Buck receivers in that quarter. The Saints really clamped it down. But one other quick point before I turn it over to you. You know, I've slapped Jason Light around on this podcast a long time. called for his dismissal at the end of 2018 before Bruce Arians suddenly materialized. And a year later came Brady. But the aforementioned Bucky Irving and the guy who I think was the best defensive player
Tyke Smith. Yeah.
Now, he didn't play all that well. In Atlanta, he whiffed on a key tackle that the guy ended up spinning away from him at the 10 and scored. He should have wrapped that guy up. But, man, he's impressive, Steve. I've been talking about him all year, I think, in our
predictions. You said he would end up being the best Buccaneers rookie. That's what the Sage said.
I did. So, you know, look, I'm not going to focus on Braswell, and Barton's a work in progress. And Lee's boy, Hainsey, you know, didn't screw himself yesterday. The offensive line, I thought it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic in run blocking. I can't remember a better run blocking game by the Bucks front. Yeah, Tucker and Irving made a lot of guys miss, Steve, but they kept getting to the second level. We haven't seen much of that. So all in all, Steve, wow. I'm turning this over to you with a wow.
Wow. All right. Well, Sage, like you said, there's so many places to go, and that's what makes it so exciting. But you brought up Bucky Irving, so I'm going to go there. Obviously, I'm one of the Bucky.
He's averaging 5.7 yards.
A minimum of 40 carries across the NFL. Two men are on top of the league. There's Derrick Henry at 5.9 yards a carry and Bucky Irving at 5.7.
And to be fair, Henry's got a lot more carries than Irving.
Yeah, well, I'm saying 40 or more carries.
He's an MVP candidate, Henry.
Absolutely, and they're squaring off Monday night. Both teams will be 4-2, but Irving got the start, played great. Sean Tucker, he did great, and he looks good. But I got to throw this out there because I got to get your sage wisdom on it. Now, there's a lot of people going bananas for Sean Tucker, rightfully so. It was beautiful. But does it matter to you, Ira, that I'm not going to re-add it up now, but I think 64 of his yards came on the final drive, total garbage time.
I think the Saints quit at that point.
Do you think, I was going to ask you, do you think the Saints basically rolled over?
I think they did.
And does that change how you view Tucker's day?
To an extent, Steve, I understand your point. Well taken, garbage time yards, but not all of it, Steve. He had a 36-yard run and a 36-yard reception. That's impressive. He ripped them apart the whole game, Steve. It wasn't just the fourth quarter. He scored that second quarter touchdown. It was critical.
Oh, yeah. Everything was critical. It was a few-point game and heading into the fourth quarter. 64 yards was that final drive. So, to me, I got to at least acknowledge
it.
I got to acknowledge
it. But he played a hell of a game.
Now, I asked you, and you called me crazy. I just have to throw it out there. I sat here in the podcast the other day. and said, expect a massive spark from Robert Hainsey coming in there with fresh legs, fired up, contract year.
And I thought you were nuts.
And the return of Gedeky, and that this is going to be something. Now, I never expected the greatest output in franchise history on yardage, but Hainsey played a hell of a game, Ira. Gedeky looked good coming back as well. I got to ask you again, is it possible that they, you know, stay with Hainsey until he looks like the old Robert Hainsey?
Well, Steve, a week ago I would have said you're nuts. They're going with Barton as soon as he's cleared and ready to go. But 594 yards, that's 594 reasons to stick with a guy. The O-line was tremendous. And what a Dennis Allen, whose job's hanging by a thread. If he makes it to 2025, something's wrong, because I don't see the Saints turning this
around. No, they're cooked. And it doesn't help Dennis Allen that Dallas stinks, and that's the team they rolled, and they also rolled Carolina, and they've lost four in a row. So the only teams they rolled up on are bad teams.
Yeah. One of the things Allen said in the post game, Steve, they own the line of scrimmage, the Bucs. They own the line of scrimmage. I think he was primarily talking about the Bucs offensive line. Although the Buck defensive line played very well. Kamara, no factor, Steve. Once again, a Bulls defense turns him invisible. No factor for Kamara. You know, a punt return. Steve, I don't like the punt game right now. I think it's lousy. And it might cost them a game down the line if they don't get this thing fixed. I didn't like the punt by Kamara. I'm not sure it was supposed to go into that side. It looked like the coverage guys were surprised that the punt went where it did. And they did a terrible job, the coverage.
They did. It was all around bad. The hang time wasn't what it should have been, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
He was untouched into the end zone. That cannot happen.
He had a lot of room once he caught the
untouched
ball. Untouched. The O-line played a marvelous game, Steve. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. And the Ravens have a very tough run defense, Steve. But they give up a lot of passing yards. So this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think he's probably done. But I'm hoping that he hangs in there. And that they hang in there with Dennis Allen only because we get the Saints to close the season.
That's right.
And it's probably a fire sale by then. But Atlanta,
he could be gone by then.
Right. But he plays Atlanta for the second time. The Saints do with Dennis Allen. I think it's in about 4 weeks. So I'm hoping they can stay competitive, maybe knock off Atlanta. But that's where that's it.
Steve, I think the defense in the second half, which pitched a shutout, that's the way you handle a rookie quarterback. You rattle him.
Yeah.
He had nothing.
It started on the final drive of the second quarter. They got after him, and they never let up from there. And, of course, we saw the huge interception by Zion McCollum,
yep.
Athletic, everything that...
Yeah, perfect example of his athleticism.
Perfect example. And Tyke Smith, I mean, I still don't understand why the one fumble that he knocked out was overturned. I really don't understand that. But he had the one that counted for the touchdown. And then
very
the pick.
Effective on the blitz, Steve.
I mean, and I got to point this out about Tyke Smith. I didn't mention this on the podcast. You know, he had the flu before a game. I forget which game it was. And then the week later, it was Denver. And then the week later, he played against the Eagles. I talked to him after the game at his locker. I was like, how you feeling? You know, are you really better? Because I heard that you were really sick, like legit sick. And he's like, you know, I've had a bad cough all week. I think I'm, you know, I think I felt pretty good coming into the game. But, you know, I'm not making excuses. You know, I'm so glad we won. But I'm not 100% coming this week. But I think I will be next week at practice or whatever. And that was after the Eagles game. So he's like getting back to 100% health. And Todd Bowles today at his Zoom news conference, if you go back and watch it.
He doesn't talk about guys like he did Smith today.
If you go back and watch it, when he was asked about Tyke Smith, Todd Bowles actually smiled. But it was a smile of a proud father. Like, he just was talking to how far ahead of the curve Tyke Smith is. Man, they got something here, Ira.
Remember when I asked him, Steve, I don't know if it was training camp or early in the season, about Smith, and he talked about how he's the first guy, you know, he gets in there just about the times Bowles gets in there, and said that his football intelligence was off the charts. You know, there's always a rookie curve, and Bowles thought his rookie curve was very small compared to others. He likes Tyke Smith more than you and I like Tyke Smith.
Yeah.
Bowles really gets animated about him.
It's exciting. You know, Jay, you've said you slapped around Jason Light here and there. I mean, can't say that's very much recent, but look, the Bucs have proven this season that the offensive line depth is there. Yes, we've had the schooly, ugly experience,
game.
But he straightened out. And Hainsey manned up, played very well. So now who's the guard backup? That's the rookie Elijah Klein. I got to think that he probably is going to stand up pretty strong if he gets a chance to get in there. And
we thought that was a weakness. So now it looks like a strength.
So the run game, Ira, look, fans of this podcast know that we started slapping around Rashad White last year and in the offseason because enough already.
They even mentioned it on the broadcast about five different times. I was thinking that, and that was Greg Olsen. And at least four or five times, he said, there's a lot of chatter in Tampa. I thought Olsen's reading Joe Buck's fan.
Tom Brady said it as well when he called the game, which we mentioned. It's just kind of funny. But Sage, where do they go from here? Todd Bowles was very excited when they asked him the three-headed monster question today. But I think that just made it easy for him to say, yeah, three-headed monster.
Yeah, he was responding to a question.
Let's be realistic. Who's going to start? Is he going to hand the ball to Bucky Irving? Rashad White, I got to say, from some information that I've received, I'm a little concerned how Rashad White will handle a demotion.
Now, a la Devin White.
Not a la Devin White. I'm not saying he's a bad teammate. I'm not saying, you know.
He'll pout.
But what I'm saying is that I'm concerned how he might handle it because he is a guy very much focused on himself as well as the team, and there's a fine line there.
He likes to market himself, right, Steve? He's a marketer, too, and he's good at it. I think Irving needs more touches. Now, here you got Tucker coming into the situation. Irving's getting like 9 carries a game, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's fantastic, and he's getting 9 carries.
But he got 14 in this game, and he popped his 81 yards. He got his run. Special.
You got to go with the hot hands, Steve. You got to go with the hot hands. After a game like that, Rashad White gets 5 carries in my book if he plays against the Ravens. 5, maximum. Now, he couldn't catch 7 balls. I don't mind that. But he gets 5 carries.
All right.
The proof's in the stats. Bucky Irving, you keep waiting now. He's had one fumble. Okay. The guy made a great play. He fumbled. They've lost zero confidence in Irving. Zero. The only problem I have is he's running out of locker room every time right past Lee DeKemper. Other than that, the guy's been sensational.
Yeah, not a fan of the media, Mr. Irving, but, you know, that's okay for now.
Sort of the opposite of Rashad White in that respect.
Well, the exact opposite of Rashad White, but maybe not the current Rashad White.
Where did this Sean Tucker come from, Steve? We don't even talk about him in training camp.
Look, we know the situation last year. He had the heart ailment, and he got a slow start. He played a little last year. He did absolutely nothing and didn't deserve anything. He was healthy this year.
We started noticing him on kickoff returns, right?
No, he ran well in the preseason. What does that really mean? I don't know. But he, you know, looked competent on the kickoffs, had a couple of good ones. But this was his shot, and that's what he's supposed to do, make the most of it. Damn, did he do that.
He looks healthy. He certainly looks
healthy. Yeah, they look young. I mean,
Otten caught a big touchdown, Steve. That was a big play.
Yeah, easy throw. Big touchdown, though.
Big touch.
Another big game for Godwin. The yak, the breaking tackles, bad tackles.
I never thought he was that great at yards after catch in his career, Steve, till this year. He looks quicker.
He does, Sage. Look, they even had this guy, Ryan Miller, call up from the practice squad. Guy people knew from preseason.
Got him wide open on the
receiver,
left side.
Rumbles for 39 yards, and essentially you got Sean Tucker. If you're pointing to Jason Light, he steps in and kills it. You know, the depth.
Big play after big play yesterday, Steve. Big play after big play.
The defense, we're going to talk to Lee in the next podcast.
Kancey showed up, Steve.
Yeah, Kancey definitely showed up. Edge rush, still not there. Still not there. They can't break through. Yaya was very good against the run, but the edge rush just isn't there.
A lot of the pressure came off blitzes, which
of
were
course,
extensive.
Of course.
And Smith helped it.
Bucks right now, before Monday Night Football tonight, in sacks per game, Ira, 2.8 sacks per game, ranks 9th in the NFL.
3 weeks ago, we were talking about where are the sacks.
Yeah.
What'd they have, 2 sacks after about 2 or 3 games, something like that? Steve, what was going through your mind when you watched Mayfield in the second quarter? Did you say, what's going on with Mayfield? Is he blanking out?
Look, he screwed up that throw to Mike Evans for the first pick.
The guy made a good play.
But he's thrown into triple coverage when he doesn't have to. So what are you doing? You got a big lead.
Which is what he did in the Denver game in the first quarter.
Yeah.
He threw into double coverage.
Bad pick. I might have my order mixed up here, but I think next was the ball to Jalen McMillan.
Low ball.
Low ball to McMillan, who volleyballs it up in the air. You can't do that. That's not on Mayfield. I mean, just a bad rookie play. The third one was tipped. And there's a lot of people who would say that's the quarterback's fault, especially the way that play developed and dangerous throw in that situation. Mayfield was very close to the lineman. you can't put a lot of blame on Mayfield for that, but you, I think you could put some. It's fair. He probably would like to have it back. But again, as sitting here, we don't know his options on the play. He didn't play well in the second quarter.
For the season, Steve, his accuracy is off the charts. Has he thrown the most touchdown passes in the league?
He's thrown the most in the league.
Who would have said that? Who would have said that?
He's thrown 15 TDs. He's on pace for 42. In 2021, Ira, Tom Brady, many people thought he was the MVP. He threw 43 touchdowns. This offense is averaging 30 points a game. That offense averaged 30 points a game.
That's right.
This run game is better. That run game, not as good, but they obviously had more weapons with Antonio Brown early in the season, Gronk, etc. But, man, they're scoring points. When you score points, you can win a Super Bowl.
4 out of 6 games, right, Steve? They've scored 30 points or more. We're not used to that, except the Brady years.
We were during the Brady years. Yeah, that's why it feels so familiar.
The Saints quit, Steve. The Saints quit yesterday.
That's part of what,
I love that.
That's part of what scares me because, you know, some of this, I think, is because the Saints are legitimately imploding, quitting, not tackling well.
Now Olave's hurt.
You
that's
know,
not going to help.
I'm not saying the Bucs didn't play well, and the Saints certainly didn't quit when it was 17-0, and they didn't quit when it was by the end of the third quarter. But that fourth quarter, a little bit deceiving, I think. The fans were leaving. They checked out a little bit.
And the Bucs did something that we're just not used to, Steve. They closed it out.
They closed it out big time.
With the running game, with the lead. We don't see that very often. Bowles talks about it. Can you run when the other team knows you're going to run? And they sure did it. They sure did it.
So, Sage, I got to ask you this. I don't
4-2 feels good, Steve. It feels good.
Oh, it feels great. Look, there's only four teams that are undefeated. That are 4-1 or 5-1 or better.
And they avoided the 2-game losing streak again.
Everything's looking good here. It's a huge game Monday against the Ravens. The Bucs could make a huge statement.
They're getting healthy.
Yeah.
Another plus.
Winfield, I didn't notice that
he
looked.
It didn't take him long to.
But he didn't look slow or you know, that he didn't belong out there. And Kancey was firing well. Whitehead, Jason Light mentioned on the pregame show that, you know, they were a little dicey on Whitehead returning, but that he's been really good to go. And he looked okay.
What did you think of the pass coverage, especially in the second quarter? Did you think they fell down a little bit?
Well, keep in mind, Dean got hurt.
Yeah.
And it looked on the film, it looks like a bad ankle situation.
Looks like they were picking on.
But they went to Funder Burke, who had never played in the NFL before, undrafted. So for an undrafted.
He's not going to kill him for getting beat by a touchdown.
No, for an undrafted free agent, he played pretty damn well. But, you know, rookie quarterback, Rattler, I don't know, it's a weird game to evaluate other than the fact that this team can score points. They kept their foot on the gas. But I got to ask you this, Ira, because it was the end of the first half. Now, so the Bucs are losing 27-24, and
they're at their own 10-yard line.
They get the ball back at their 10.
How much time?
45 seconds left. They got 3 timeouts. So they hand off to Bucky.
And they get 9 yards,
get 9 yards. They do not call timeout. At the 21 seconds later, Mayfield throws short to Sterling Shepard. The Bucs call timeout with 19 seconds left at their own 24.
That was disjointed, Steve.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I think the decision was made by Bowles. We're going into halftime down.
But why'd you call timeout then with 19 seconds left?
I don't understand.
So it's like you're playing scared, which we're supposedly not doing anymore. You're playing scared, but you're still going to take chances. So
Steve, I want to kill Bowles if he just ran out the clock. Mayfield just thrown 3 interceptions
in that quarter. With
45
seconds
left? Steve, you're at your 10-yard line. Now, come on. Be critical here. You're at your 10-yard line. A lot of bad things can happen. You want to go 50 yards and kick a field goal? That's what you want to do.
Yeah. You got the most accurate 50-plus yard kicker in the history of the National Football League.
You've had a horrible quarter. Yeah.
Why'd they hand off?
Yeah, it was disjointed.
What are you doing? If you want to take a knee, take a knee. So they disjointed. So then they, at 19 seconds left, they throw 25 yards to Godwin. They get a defensive penalty. And then, Sage, 14 seconds left at their own 29. Still got 2 timeouts in the bag. What do they do? Throw short to Cade Otton. That's when you throw the deep ball and take the shot, maybe get the penalty. What are you doing? So then here's the kicker, Ira. This is what killed me, right?
Nobody breaks down a drive like you.
Well, they go short again, and they.
How much time now? 8?
With 10 seconds left, they go short. He gets out of bounds. And then with 6 seconds left, they throw to Godwin, okay, putting him at risk.
Short again?
They throw short middle to Godwin. He throws it back to Tristan Wirfs, who catches it, you know, spins around a guy, and then fumbles. You know, the Bucs recover, and that was it. that was just so mismanaged, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Luckily, they had a sensational second half, so nobody's talking about that except you, Steve.
Well, I still don't understand it. Like, it scares me.
But you broke it down very well. Why not throw a deep ball? Look for a flag. You're right. Why not?
Mike Evans, are you worried about him?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about him. I don't see the burst from him. He caught a 20-yard pass early, Steve, and then he disappeared. The second half in Atlanta, he disappeared. He's not having a terrible season, Steve, but I'm not sure he's on pace for 1,000 yards right now.
He's not. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's like 880 right now, something like that.
And you know that's in the back of Mayfield's mind.
So what's going to make you not worried about him?
I don't want to keep seeing him on the sideline. He's going out every other play. That's concerning. And on the field, I can see a difference in his quickness. I don't see it right now. If you have to sit him a game, do it. But I want him effective, and I want him for the rest of the season.
Now, so they threw it to him.
Is it a hamstring? I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. They haven't announced the injury. I'm not sure really he is injured, but that was the implication. They threw it to him. He got us a couple of early touches and then just disappeared. You know, some of that's Lattimore. Some of that, obviously, they put up a lot of yardage.
I think he drew a flag.
Now, there were two flags that he should have drawn that he didn't draw. One in the end zone and another pass interference. But still, that wouldn't, you know, necessarily.
Yeah, that one in the end zone, that should have been a touchdown. He had the angle on that. He got past that guy.
Yeah, the
guy
left had corner. His arm across his chest.
Yeah.
And the other one on the deeper ball, the guy's grabbing his arm. So not a very well officiated game, in my opinion.
So tied with Atlanta. Steve, I'll say this, and I think you'd agree with me. By the standings, they're tied, and Atlanta right now has the tiebreaker, but they'll play again in a couple of weeks. But, Steve, I don't think we have to be homers to say through six games. I think the Bucs are better than the Falcons, even though they lost to them. I think they played better ball than the Falcons.
Yeah, look.
You know, beating up on the Panthers doesn't show me anything. I'm sorry.
No, I think so. But, you know, they're going to settle that on the field and before the end of this month. After the Ravens, in come the Falcons. So we're going to get our answers in a hurry. And the sad thing is, or the exciting thing is, depending on how you want to look at it, but God forbid the Bucs lose to the Falcons, the national media is going to be all over the Falcons for the rest of the season.
Yes.
They beat the Bucs twice, blah, blah, blah.
There'll be no Michael Penix talk. Yeah.
So, Sage, obviously, a lot of people, national media, just in general, make it a super big deal about the Bucs' performance with the hurricane, evacuating early. Now, after all the stuff you've heard, what you've saw, what you read, how much of a factor do you think that was? Positive, negative? Who knows? But where do you stand on that?
I didn't dwell on it in the column, Steve. I mentioned it a couple of times in passing. But Bowles and Mayfield talked a lot about it Sunday after the game. I think it was a little bit of a motivating factor, as difficult as it was logistically for the players and their families. They kind of thought they were representing the Bay Area out there yesterday in the Big Easy. If that gave them a little extra spark, certainly didn't show up in the second quarter. But overall, it was a sensational performance. They won the game by 24 points. That's a blowout by NFL standards.
Oh, yeah.
And now the families are back, and they're, you know, getting back into their homes and seeing what kind of problems they have. In a way, in a crazy way, I think it helped them in terms of their intensity. They look totally focused on football. I didn't see anybody's concentration lagging. Other than, I don't want to pick on this guy, but Sterling Shepard in the second quarter, he was part of the problem. He was out of control.
I thought one of the calls was bad, but he had a wild game. He had a very bad drop in that game that went unnoticed later in the game. And he also did a lot of good things in that game. He had a couple of very strong runs. He runs that end around with just the right angle and pace. And
he
caught balls early,
when he
too.
When they're trying to do that pick play, he needs to get that more refined, because it's too obvious that he's running right into the defensive back.
But I think him starting and getting a lot of work when Jalen McMillan was healthy, you know, that was kind of the Bucs saying, you know, Shepard's the guy for now, and we're going to go from there.
Which Braswell show you anything?
I'm just not that impressed yet with Braswell, but, you know, he deserves more time, and we'll see. He's not playing a ton. He's out there every week, but
I don't think he has a lot of counter moves at this time, but he's young.
I'm not seeing the strength that they talked about, and maybe that'll show up when he plays more, or maybe next year gets more time.
Logan Hall, quiet.
I thought he played pretty well for coming off that big game that he had and playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, Cansey and Vea in there, you know, we saw that they really, you know, smothered the run pretty darn well.
What's the
most part?
Steve, what's the gauntlet coming up after the Ravens? Are they playing Atlanta again? And where's San Francisco?
Yeah,
after the
Ravens, it's Atlanta, back at home, you know, 6 days later. And then out to the Chiefs for the big Monday night game, home for the Niners, then you get the bye.
Maybe San Francisco's coming around, Steve, but as you said the other day, they haven't looked that good. They played a good game against Seattle. That was 49er football. Maybe they're coming around a little bit. I mean, they're a quality team, Steve. They're a quality team. The Niners are not going 6-11. I'm sorry.
No, no, not at all.
But this is a tough little gauntlet, and I think things are really shake out very nicely after the bye week, Steve. So I like the 4-2 cushion. I think this is a hell of a matchup coming up. I don't think they're scared of the Ravens. I don't think Baltimore's defense is nearly as good as it was last year. It was sensational last year. But they could score a lot of points, Steve. And Henry's a beast. He's a very different challenge than Alvin Kamara. He's a physical challenge. And by the way, I thought the Bucs' physicality was tremendous on Sunday in New Orleans.
Yeah, and look, they faced Henry, I think, was it last year? I think so.
Yes.
I don't think there's going to be any intimidation value there at all.
You know the funny part, Steve? I think Henry got off to a slow start this year, the first couple of games, and Baltimore started 0-2. And Henry wasn't much of a factor. He's on a serious roll right now.
Yeah, look, I'm more worried about Lamar Jackson, but we'll get way into that game. I'm looking forward to talking to Lee and getting into his takes on this game, also from being in New Orleans. I'm sure he's got some fun for us.
You know, he went to the Cafe Dumont. Does that register with you?
Anything it doesn't about? Doesn't register, no.
May I?
Yep, go ahead. First, though, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there. Bill Curry, that's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And if you have a friend who's got storm damage or yourself or is dealing with all that situation, call Florida's Elite Restoration. You may need them a lot more than you think, but get to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. Don't get ripped off and caught in the corruption of the insurance business. Unfortunately, that happens to a ton of people, especially now.
I'm going to end this podcast in grand style, Steve. You're going to love this one.
Is this a muffalata?
Nope. The Cafe Dumont. It's a landmark in New Orleans. It's by the French Market. It's just off Bourbon Street and the French Quarter. And they're famous for chicory coffee, which is something they put in their coffee, and something called beignets. It's a powdered donut.
Sure.
And, Steve, in New York, we used to call them Zeppoli. And you get them in a bag, and it's oozing
sure.
oil, and you end up with all the powdered sugar on your fingers and mouth. You know, you look like Bozo the Clown when you're finished. Well, anyway, Lee sent me some pictures. The gumbo shop, of course, that's one of his standbys. And he did go to the Cafe Dumont. And I told Lee DeKemper, and I'm going to tell our audience, the Cafe Dumont will always have a special place for the Sage. Because late January 1981, here I am, 26 years old, and just covered the Raiders-Eagles Super Bowl in New Orleans. And my wife, who I had known for a year, she came with me. When the Super Bowl's in a good town, she wanted to come with me. If the Super Bowl's in Minneapolis, she says you can go on ahead by yourself. So she loves New Orleans,
sure.
And she was there. Steve, what happened that fateful evening? I proposed at the Cafe Dumont. Yes, I did.
Did you have the powdered sugar all over your face?
All over. And and I said, do you think this is an appropriate place for a man to propose marriage? And she didn't answer right away. She called the waiter over and ordered more beignets, which I thought was a hell of an answer. Then she said, sure. And the rest is history, Steve.
Nice.
The rest is history.
Nice.
That is where the proposal took place, with a mouthful of powdered sugar.
Maybe Lee sat at your table. That's possible. It's possible. All right, Ira, look, good to chop it up with you, as they say.
We got a lot to talk about on that next
exciting game. We got more to talk about. The fallout of this game is going to be intense as it relates to the injuries and where the team's at. And I think some more things are going to come out as well. I'm curious to see how the Bucs handle a few things. But we'll dive into those, Ira, and we'll be back soon.